Okay. I don't thank you, man. Appreciate it. All right, no murmuring or complaining. Hello, hello, hello. You can't get this thing to work. Ryan, that's why you couldn't hear. There's no audio. The audio comes from there. So, all right. So let's go to 2 Peter 1. And we're through this study of the stature of a perfect man, which is over here on the board that the prophet drew for us and put this thing together. I was reading some quotes this morning that where Brother Brown said that in... Michael, pull that door shut.
If there's nobody in there.
Boyd's not here? Don't know if he's coming or not.
Apparently not.
Apparently not. Okay.
Paul, Paul in there?
Paul went in his mama's class.
Okay. So. Well, I know he was.
Okay. 2 Peter 1, 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness. So what we're talking about is, we're talking about life and how to be godly in this life. All right? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, what, these promises that God's made us, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, look, remember, just kind of background a minute. We were born with not a divine nature, right? Our nature was the children of wrath. As you see David here, he's crying out to God for the things that he done, the sins that he done, and the iniquity in his life and all the things that's going on. David has a struggle because David can't get the new birth. So he's got that war going on that we have, but our war is in the spirit realm. All right? Because remember, this body only does what motivates inside.
That's right.
And not saying anything against any, you know, we got our new brothers and sister back here, but smoking doesn't come from the spirit. It's motivated by the thing that's in there. Same way with you and I used to chew tobacco every day, just like smoking, for 20 years. Danny knows it. We went fishing together many times. But, you know, one day when God saved my soul, it stopped that day. I went from Tuesday night, right, Jim? I was dipping on Tuesday night. Wednesday I came to church, gave my heart to God. I never put another drop in my mouth because God took that desire away. Because your body craves that. Hey, people, I'm telling you, it's hard. It's a hard devil to get rid of. Okay? But your body craves that thing. I see. Your body craves that thing. Well, when your body craves that thing, you've got to have something to change. Because look, the divine nature of God doesn't smoke. The divine nature of God doesn't curse. The divine nature of God doesn't chew. And you can name all these different things, but it comes back to having God in your soul. Not just something that makes you feel good.
Right.
We're not talking about a feel-good gospel here. We're talking about living, and that's what this is. Life and godliness. So we're looking at life that we're living and godliness. It's a process. You go through justification where God forgives you of your past sins, right? Those are done. Whatever you did in your past, done. If you ask God to forgive you, He's just, the Bible says. He's just to forgive you. So whatever you've done in the past, it's done.
Right.
Even if you were a prostitute.
Right.
Doesn't matter. If you're justified,
amen,
and you're in God's eyes, you're just as virgin as the next person. But now there's certain things you can't do, and you can't deny it yourself. That's why you have a war in your spirit, because your memory remembers it.
Right.
Your reasoning says you did it.
That's right.
Your conscience absolutely bothers you. Your affection and imagination and all those things are still there. So there's the war, the fight. But down in that soul, if you've been truly justified, God's putting you toward a place that He can sanctify you. All right, and then under sanctification, that's where you get the unclean spirit out. Bible says there in Matthew that the unclean spirit goes out of a man, walks in dry places, seeks rest, finds none, comes back, makes you worse if you don't get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the most important thing. That's the divine nature of God. You were born with your parents' nature.
That's right.
And the nature of the devil. Everybody was.
That's right.
There's only one person that wasn't, that's Jesus Christ.
Right.
So everybody's on the same level. We're no big up here and little down here and just this and just... No. We all start at the same level. We're lost.
That's right.
And until God brings us to a knowledge of being lost, we're lost.
That's right.
And we go, you know what? You do the nature of lost people.
That's right.
It's like Dave Ramsey said. He said, if you do rich people things, you'll become rich. If you do poor people things, you're going to stay poor. Mm-hmm. And that's just the truth in natural life, but the same way in spiritual life. I can't help this. This is the way I was born. Yeah, there's certain things you can't help, but the Holy Ghost gives you a divine nature. And that's what we're talking about here with these verses. It's a divine nature that comes into you. This is not just playing church and coming to church and feeling good. No, it's going out there and living it before others. Right? That's the walk. Okay?
I was just going to say, for the benefit, that you said that when you came to church that Wednesday night, it was gone.
I felt it gone. I mean, I knew it was gone.
I just want, for their benefit, my dad, you know my dad.
Sure. Loved him.
True Christian. Mm-hmm. But he went for years. He went for a long time with the smoking
sure.
thing. And when the prophet, he was
smoking
called out,
demons.
He said he could not remember how many cartons of cigarettes he threw away. You know, never smoked
sure.
again. But then when he was called out, he
sure.
said he, on the way home, he threw that pack out the window. He
that
never had the desire again. But, I mean... Sometimes it takes a while.
Sure it does. It takes a while. I'm just telling you that even Sister Fallbush, Donnie's mama. Where's Susan? Donnie's mama. I'm sorry. That's the first time I hadn't seen you in a crowd.
I can tell it.
I just hadn't heard you. But Sister
Hazel,
she smoked for a while, and that's okay. But we got to remember, this is a process.
Yeah.
Same way with being born again. This is the process. Once you get the divine nature, see, he says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, we all believe the Bible, right?
Yes.
The Bible's our absolute in this church. That's
yes.
The Bible's the absolute. So we take the absolute that if we get the divine nature of God, it automatically pushes those things out. See, I had a desire when I was dipping and doing those things, and I told you I used to cuss like a sailor. Remember, I told you that I knew I was delivered because God, one day, I was talking on the phone and I was getting ready to say the bad word that used to come out so freely. And it was like somebody hit me in the chest. It was God that hit me in the chest.
Yes.
Right.
All right? I mean, because I said those words freely because I didn't have a divine nature. Okay? I had my own nature. I had a nature that I was born with, which is contrary to God. And we all were born, like I said, everybody but Jesus Christ. So everybody's on the same level. Doesn't matter if it's prophet, priest, or king. We were all born lost and needed to have this new nature put in us.
Right.
Then once we get that new nature put in us, we've still got a divine nature to live by.
That's right.
That's what we're talking about now. So this is not just going to church and living right. I got some quotes, maybe we'll get to them or not, but Brother Brown said, it's not how much you shout, it's not how much you speak in tongues, it's not how much you know the Bible. He said, it's how much you can live the 9 spiritual gifts out there in the world, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, patience.
Right.
Things like that. All right. And you project that because the people that were in the Old Testament, they were called Christians because the word Christian means Christ-like. In other words, the people that saw Christ walking on the earth, they saw Peter, James, and John walking on the earth just like Christ did, so they called them Christians. All right, so that's the way you and I have to be. We have to be Christian to be identified with Christ. But if you have the divine nature of God, God wants to still give you more gifts. He wants to still give you more promises. See, exceeding great and precious promises, not just little ones. Exceeding. He wants to abound. And besides this, giving all diligence. In other words, let's just don't make this an everyday thing. Besides just giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue knowledge. Knowledge temperance. Temperance patience. Patience godliness. Now we're on patience. Now this is not just patience as in the world. If, you know, it's like... I would say that, you know, well, let's take for example Brother Tatum. Brother Tatum was the most patient person in the world, wouldn't you? Those of you that knew him, he was so patient. But now he said, this come out of his mouth, before he got born again, he was a rascal. He only went to that church to see Sister Tatum. He didn't go to that church to see God. He just went to the church to go see Sister Tatum. All right.
It's hard to believe it.
Same way Jim just went to church with me. She come to church with me. When we first met, she was just a sinner out in the world. Of course, I was too, but I was trying to come to church. And she'd come to church with me just because I was at church. Now, if you come here to see somebody besides God, you're in trouble. Sure, we like to commune with each other, but if I commune with Sister Johnny, that's me and God communicating with each other. Okay? Same way with any of us here. It's God communicating with each other through individuals. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to build a stature, not a statue, a stature, which is a growth development. It never says statue. What is a statue? It don't move.
It's dead.
It's dead, yeah. But a stature is a growth development. Eula, I remember when she was born. She's a little bitty thing. But if she was cute as a button then, she's cuter now. And she's growing, but she's growing in stature. Right, Eula? Stature. Yeah, don't even pay attention to me. But now let's talk about patience for a minute. We talked about faith. We've got to have faith. We got to have faith in God. But we've got to see that it's not just having faith in God, that God's out there somewhere, that God's somewhere over here. We've got to have faith in God that He's in you.
That's right.
Or He's in the preacher that's going to preach today. Or that He's somewhere that's tangible. Okay? You know, Dad said, first sermon I heard him preach when I came back on that Wednesday night, as I was riding up here to church, the devil, of course, he's always there. He was there saying, you're not good enough. And I was trying to go, well, if I quit this and I quit that and I don't do this and I don't do that, I'll get... Daddy's sermon was, you can't get good enough to be saved. And you can't. You can't wash yourself up enough to get saved. It's got to be an inward work. You cannot, no way, physically make yourself saved. But now look, if you get the divine nature of the one that wrote the Bible, number one, you'll start reading the Bible and quit reading all that other junk. You'll start seeing what God said to you. See, as a young Christian, we all have to do that. And always we get older in life, sometimes, you know, Dad can about quote the Bible, so he really doesn't have to read every day, but I'm sure it's like he and I are kind of geared the same way. You see people, and I'm not putting off on them in the message. They've always got their earbuds in, and they're listening to a sermon constantly, 24 hours a day. I just don't do that. But I meditate on what I already know, what God said. And that's the way Daddy is. Daddy will be just working away, and he'll just be meditating. The tape's running in his head. It ain't running in, you know, it ain't physically hooked to him, but it's running in his head because he's known it long enough. He's been in this message for 50 years, 45 years. So it kind of turns over, and God can put those things together. But a lot of us are geared different. We have to listen to tapes. See, I can't listen to a tape. My mind goes to wandering. I have to read. I'm a reader. If I read, I can block everything out, and the world could fall apart. And if I'm reading a book, it doesn't matter what's going on. I can focus on that book. But now turn on a tape, I'll go to sleep, or my mind will be over yonder somewhere. But I'm just being honest with you. But I'm telling you, in your Christian experience, you got to figure out what works for you.
Right.
Even in all this, and I'm not saying just for the young ones, I'm saying for all of us. Like you were talking about patience last Sunday, you got to figure out a way to get where you don't have bad thoughts about that guy that pulls out in front of you. I want to read something in just a minute because it's, and I'm sorry, when I did it this morning, I got up at 5 o'clock, couldn't sleep, so I did my sermon, or I did my notes, and I did them in smaller fonts. So some of you in the back are not going to be able to read the ones that's coming up. But Brother Brown said, in patience, the Bible says, possess ye your soul. But Brother Brown says, patience is something you've got to endure. So you've got to go through all these troubles. You've got to go through it. We all, Brother Joe.
Yeah, you were talking about that guy pulling in front of you?
Yeah.
Your inner man wants to do something, but there's something in inside. Even if you wanted to, you can't do it, you know what I mean?
That's correct.
They don't let you.
That's right. Brother Brown said, if you're geared to the Holy Ghost, see when that cog starts turning, and it used to, like my, I used to say bad words, that cog in my head. Now listen, let me be real honest with you. Those bad words hadn't went away.
That's right.
You still know them.
I still got them in my head.
That's right.
And I'll call myself something every once in a while that I'll have to repent of.
Okay.
Sorry, it's just, hang on just a second, just the human brain. That's, but Brother Brown said, but don't sit there and dwell on it.
Right.
Say, God, forgive me. Because remember, if you're a child of God, you better watch what that thing inside you is calling you.
That's right.
If you're a child of God. Remember, right? Because you can grieve the Holy Ghost. Not do away with it, not be lost, but you can grieve it.
Yeah.
But you say, God, you know that wasn't me, and you know I wouldn't say that. I would before, but not now. But it's just, it's what, it's in this brain. This is where Satan works right here. God takes what David said right here, not what was up here. Okay? Brother?
I used to think that as long as I didn't involve nobody else in what I was doing,
right,
that I was only hurting myself. Since I've been coming here, I've been realizing that God's getting in me.
Yeah.
And now I'm hurting God.
Yeah.
How can you talk about God to two
right.
people, Him being there,
right.
and hurting?
There you go. That's correct. That's correct.
A woman that loves you. And,
yep.
You know, so that's bothering me. I can't smoke around people I go to church with.
Yeah.
The other day, I caught myself walking across the street, Mark's down out there, and I caught myself throwing a whole cigarette on the ground. Poor as I am, a whole cigarette.
For those of you that smoke, you know what he's talking about. I'm sure.
I throw it right down before he even saw it, and I get around Don, and I cannot even have a cigarette ready. I don't know what it is.
Oh, well, hey,
I used to hunt.
You know, me and Dad used to hunt together, and I'd dip or chew out on the stand, and boy, before me and him met, I got real that stuff. You know? Probably had it all over my teeth and everything else, and he could smell it. But he caught me one time. He come around the house. I was working in the backyard up there in Dixie Drive, and I didn't hear him pull up, and I was working in the back on the deck, and he come around there, and I turned around and looked, and I'm,
what did he do?
Nothing. He never said a word. He's never said a word.
The example of God is what we are.
Right.
And when you're doing all of that stuff, you're hurting the temple of God.
Right.
Because, I mean,
that's right.
It's known that right. all this stuff we do, drink, smoke, dope, whatever we do,
right.
that's hurting this temple of God.
Right.
So that's why we don't do it, because we're supposed to be
right.
the temple of God.
Right.
By the way,
not that it, you know, and that's what you do is commendable, and that's what I did. I didn't ever smoke around. Well, I didn't smoke, but I never tried not to chew except that one time. But I didn't drink or anything like that around Dave. That was respect.
Yeah.
But then I got to realize, like you, when I got saved, I was kidding me more than I was kidding anybody else. I was kidding me. I wasn't kidding God.
No.
He's there all the time. He knew it from the foundation of the world before I was born what I'd be doing. So here we are, you know, it's like Mom said, it's the temple you walk around in, but that temple has got to show what's inside.
That's right.
That temple, that's just what we're talking about here. With patience, we need to have more patience. We need to have more knowledge. We need to have more temperance. Not have that, Brother Brown said, ungodly temper. But the first thing he said to do was to have patience with who? God. Have patience with God. Let's shift to that. Let's get to it. Let's see. Patience with what? What kind of patience? First thing is have patience with God. Now let me paraphrase this. If you got real genuine faith, you'll have real genuine patience, because faith worketh patience. When God says anything, you believe it. So when we started our Christian journey, how many of us had ups and downs?
Oh,
everybody raised their hand. Grief. Even Jesus was tempted.
That's right.
He had his ups and down days, and he was God Almighty in human flesh. Remember, he did. He asked him, said, what in the world are y'all talking about? One wanted to sit on my right hand, one wanted to sit. He got aggravated with him. Because he had a human nature. But it was the nature of Almighty God, and that's what projected out. But watch what happens with this nature. When you have the divine nature of God, religious people don't like you. I said religious people. I didn't say Christians. I said religious people don't like you. Religious people kill Jesus. The whores, the drunks, They didn't kill Jesus.
That's right.
They loved him because he was healing the sick. He was casting out devils. He was helping humanity. But who killed him because of who he was? The religious people.
Yep.
And religious people is somebody that just puts on. It's like Brother Brown said, you take a crow and he starts sticking peacock feathers in his body, and he might kind of look like a peacock, but he's not going to act like one. He's going to act like a crow. Right? That's why that, if you didn't know this, that's why that Noah sent a dove.
Right.
And a crow.
That's right.
You know why? The dove couldn't eat the dead bodies that was floating, because there's billions of people died after the flood. So he sent them out. Well, the dove comes back.
That's right.
The crow stays out there. He's probably lit on somebody's body eating them.
That's right.
But the dove come back, so no one knew that the waters went down far enough.
Right.
But when that dove came back with a green leaf in his mouth,
right.
See, remember one thing for sure. And you know, they even in this new movie Noah, they even say it. He stayed in that ark for a year. He didn't stay in there 40 days and 40 nights. It was over a year they stayed in the ark. Because they had to wait till the 40 days and 40 nights and all that to happen. Then they had to wait for the flood waters to go down. So it took over a year for them to be in there. So that dove, the reason they were in there that long, the high places, it took time for those leaves to grow and for that dove to go get that leaf and come back. Well, when they knew that, because remember, it was the nature of that dove not to eat dead stuff.
That's right.
So he knew when that dove came back with that green leaf in its mouth that the water had went down. So they opened the door and went out of the ark. So that's the same way with you and I. You can have a crow nature. That's what we were born with. Eating anything in the world.
That's right.
But when we got that dove nature, it can see all that dead stuff laying there. But it's not going to eat it. It's going to eat a green leaf because it can't digest it. When you get the divine nature of God, you can't digest the things of the world anymore. And like I said, it's a process.
It is.
It's a process. And man, I'm telling you, I'd rather see somebody struggle. I'd rather see somebody fight their way to heaven than to see somebody come in. How many times have we seen it? People come in and they say, oh, this is great and this is wonderful. 3 months later, you don't see them no more.
Yep.
Well, they didn't get nothing to start with. But the one that's up and down and fighting and struggling and pray for me, they usually last. 99% of the time, they last. Because they didn't just come in. See, it's real easy to get in the atmosphere.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's real easy to get in the atmosphere. That's what I always say. I always tell people when I preach. Today we may feel good about what's going on. Because it's Sunday. We're around believers. We're in this dome of godly love.
Mm-hmm.
But Monday morning when your feet hit the floor, the devil's feet hits there first.
That's right.
And he's the first one sitting right here. That's when what you get on Sunday is either going to do you any good or not.
Right.
One of the two.
I don't want to interrupt, but I want to ask you a question.
No, sure, go right ahead.
You touched me this morning in a way I never thought you would. Yeah, I didn't mean that the wrong way. I'm sorry.
No, from you.
My question.
These others, I'd have a problem.
I got you.
Okay.
The question I have for you is, when a man leaves a house, he's supposed to lead his wife to the Lord, and that's the only way he's really got any right trying to lead her at all.
Correct.
I mean, she's a grown human being, got rights, and
right.
do her own thing, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Right.
But in that instance, what I'm thinking is I've got to trust the person or persons that's leading us both to the Lord
mm-hmm.
in order for me to trust bringing my wife and letting her be there with me, and we both go the same direction.
True.
That's my question. I 100% trust in people.
That's exactly correct.
Well, I got that feeling here, so.
Well, there's,
well,
you know.
Keep coming and keep trying to get here under any circumstances. I'll let nothing stop me.
That's good.
You know,
that's what I mean. I mean, Hank.
We're here at this church and give me gas money to get here. Between me and the good Lord, that's the truth.
Yeah. Well, if you ever need anything, you let us know.
Well,
we want you here.
So far, I ain't even had to.
Good. This is good.
I can just look and tell these folks has got eyes that can see, I guess.
Right. I drove by and Hank told me a testimony about getting a place to live and all that yesterday. I drove by Mark's and he was out there. And there's one thing about it. When you try. See, like David, when you read that, I feel David's struggle.
Right.
Man, he's up and down. And you know what? 90% of the time, his fight wasn't from his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
his earthly people. Sure, he had a son that was, but his fight, those enemies were with inside him.
That's right.
His enemies, Hank, was in here. Right. His enemies was here, and he was warring against his own self.
That's right.
But see, God knew in his heart that he wanted to do right. I mean, God knows the heart. You know, sometimes we get emotions and we get to feeling good and we get, you know, but God knows our heart. He knows if your desire is to have your wife here, you know what? That divine promise I told you about in 2 Peter, it'll happen.
One more thing I need to tell you. You ain't going to believe it. I got this morning, I thought I had $13 in my pocket. I looked at my wife, I said, you got any money in your pocket? She counted $34. My mama looked at me and said, I need some money. So you know what I'm saying? So it
sure. We had a brother here that couldn't pay his bills. Remember that? Brother Harris, a long time ago, couldn't pay his bills. He got down on his knees onto Ottoman, and he said, God, I need X amount of money, and I only got this much. But I need X amount. What was it?
He had 19, I think.
He had $19, and he needed. But when he got up from praying, that stack of money had built up right in front of him. And he had enough to pay. Now, it didn't make him rich. God didn't give him $100 bills this high. He had enough to pay his bills.
Amen.
That's right.
God will supply your needs, not your wants.
That's right.
A lot of us wants and you this and wants and you that, but God says, you need work and get that, but I'm going to give you this. You need to work if you want a new car, but I'm going to give you enough money to sustain yourself through life. Pay your bills, get your things done. And Hank's got a real good testimony, and I appreciate somebody like that. I like somebody fresh. It's kind of like a...
Yep.
Kind of like a breath of fresh air.
It's so
like,
good to have
him here. I'm kind of raw. I'm raw. Right now I'm raw. But the skin's growing over me. Let's say I'm quitting, easing off the hurting so much. You know
good.
What I mean?
But
the things
good.
I've done, I've helped a lot of people. And, you know.
Hey, you do the best you can. Like I said, under justification, God forgives you, but you still, the things I did when I was out in the world, they still haunt me. You too.
Yes.
That's right.
It's harder
you
to
too.
Forgive ourselves than it is for God to forgive us. I said it's harder to forgive
absolutely.
Ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That and others to forgive you right. than it is for God to forgive you.
I think it's hard to accept that God forgives us
Amen.
Because we can't forgive ourselves.
Right.
That's
right.
That's right.
Yes.
Well,
that's good.
That's true.
Brother Joe?
We have to burn our bridges behind us. We can't go back.
That's
right.
correct.
That's right.
See, that'll tell you. That's a good point. That'll tell you whether it's truly God leading you and you're a God child is that you don't go back. Because remember, justification is you're going in this direction. All right? You're going in this direction. We all were born going in this direction. We do a 180, not a 360. I've heard some people say, if you do a 360, you come right back around where you were.
That's right.
You do a 180 and you go in the opposite direction. Hey, the best thing I done when I was growing in God, I knew the things that I was weak on. So I tried my best to stay away from that. I knew that I was weak on certain things, and I tried my best to stay away from it. Just move away from it.
I said something a minute ago. I've not done a whole lot of bad things because I've always had God in my mind. I wouldn't cross no lines. I didn't think I'd get back across. My biggest problem was drugs. So when I got myself together this year last time, I made a point of letting every one of them know, if you come in my yard, I'm going to call the police, then we're going to fight.
Good.
Good. I'm the police here to drag you out of this yard and I get through.
You're right.
I meant that.
Well, see, if they see that sincerity, see, forgive us for getting out, we'll go do patience next Sunday. But see, I still had friends that dipped, and Jim knows that I had cans of Skoll laying around the house even that Wednesday night after I came home and told her I'd give my heart to the Lord. And I tell you that what was tough was, Hank, is she and I went to church here for a long time together, then we quit, and then she started coming back, and I didn't. But when the Lord started dealing with me, she quit here and started going to Baptist church. So see, I had a quandary there. I'm like, Lord, I'm finally coming back, and here my wife's gone off again. You know, not again, but she's gone off, you know. But it took her going to a Baptist church to realize that the realness, that this is real and that's not. I ain't saying nothing against the Baptist church, but...
That's where I grew up. That was familiar. That was
correct.
Comfortable.
That was her comfort zone.
I was made to live in here.
here.
That was her comfort.
I was making my mother-in-law happy.
Right.
Trying to, you know, make my friends all accept.
Once I got past that point of trying to figure out what everybody was doing here and why everybody feels the way they feel, and I started asking God to come be with me and help me understand. When I lay down at night, I close my eyes. I imagine us walking together, Him glowing and me not.
Sure.
For simple
basis, for right now.
Reasons in my mind that He would be the Almighty. He would have a certain look to Him, and I would be the human nowhere. You know? But since I started doing that, He's put it in my heart to be here no matter what.
Right.
And in my life, the people around me, even my mama looked at me and said the other day, something's different about you.
Aww.
Man, I tell you. I tell you, you know what it does? It changes your countenance. And your countenance is your persona, your person. It changes that. Sure, we have things, and I haven't used to being quiet, and now I'm loud. I've been loud the whole time. But I just used to use my loud mouth to curse people out and make people feel bad. But now I try to use it to help people. So I use that gift. That gift was always in my life. I just used it in the wrong way because it was me using it, not Him. You talking about God walking beside you with the light and you in the dark. One day that's going to do this.
That's what I'm looking for.
And you're not going to see dark anymore. You're going to see the light because He's not going to be walking with you. He's going to be in you.
I think in my mind when I do that, I ain't even talking my wife about this. So y'all forgive me. I think it's going to be that turning point when I hit that point of turning where I'm going. Because I know that's where I'm going. I'm not letting up. I love this woman. I'm going to take it the right way. I have no business taking it no other way.
Right.
So that's what I've got to do to be a man to myself. And all
right.
And a thing about the loud mouth thing you're talking about, I blame it on hard hear. I don't know if I got hard hear or not, but I sometimes talk really loud.
Yeah.
Don't you mean to?
Yeah. I know.
I see y'all, and I see what y'all do, and I see Mark and Don and Susan and Gina, and there's something there bigger than me, and I want to be part of it.
Yeah.
And it's going to take me a while to get there. So y'all forgive me. I'm slow, always have been. I should have been on the short bus, you know.
Don't worry.
They throw me in the back and put me on the front, save the big ones.
It was full of us and you couldn't get on.
Yeah.
You know what? It was full of us and you couldn't get on.
Okay.
They want a seat for you. We were all on it.
Thank you for letting me talk.
But hey. This is open Bible school down here.
I know it's been like this. I've been coming here ever since.
Yeah.
Something made me get up this morning and say, come on, we got to go.
Well, good.
So I got here in time.
Well, that's what we're going to try to do. We try to do down here. What I tell them is we try to give you the gravy down here and you get the meat upstairs.
Okay.
So if you put the two together, most of the time, how many times, people, have we went upstairs and Daddy covered the same scripture, the same topic we're talking about, and He'll hit it and just fill in the gaps. And so that's, you know what, that's God, because He and I don't talk about it. I don't try to influence what He's preaching, and He don't try to influence what I'm doing down here. We listen to each other and we feed off each other. But I think Claude calls it stealing your fire, which I don't know if it's too much stealing your fire or not. But still, if you got a thought, you know, I can pull Him off to my thought. I don't want to do that. I want God to have His way. God to have His thought with Him, and then God to have His thought with me. So, but my friends, when I started serving the Lord, I was tested many times. Now, my friends, I wasn't in a circle of drugs, but that doesn't matter. There's no big sin or little sin. It's all sin.
Right.
So the friends that I was with, they would tempt me. They said, well, we're going to go hunting on Sunday, because I was a big hunter. We hunted all the time. They said, we're going to go hunting on Sunday. You want to go with us? No, I'm going to church. Okay. Or we're going to go hunting Saturday, but we're going to stay over to Sunday. You want to ride with us? Well, see, if I'd have rode with them, I'd have been stuck there Sunday. I said, no, I'll drive. See, I didn't do away with my friend. They just made sure that they knew. I made sure that they knew that Sunday was church service. Jim's father, he comes over. We don't see him but maybe two or three times a year. But you know what? If he comes over on Sunday, he knows one thing's for sure. We're either not going to be there or he's going to come with us. One of the two. I'm not going to stay home for any of my kids. That's putting them before God.
Right.
Now, you shouldn't do that. You should put God first. And if your kids want to stay home, hey, I got one at home right now. If your kids want to stay home, let them stay home. I'm coming here. Because
right.
This is more important than anything in the world.
Yeah.
But my friends, tell you a little testimony about change. I was a class vice president, so I was involved in getting the 10-year class reunion our 20-year class reunion. Well, we had a 10-year class reunion in 1998, 78, 88, 98, 20-year class reunion in 98. We had already had one in 88, and they saw the drinking and the cursing and the rowdy person I was then. But in 1997 is when God saved my soul, and in 1998, that summer, we had our 20-year class reunion. Well, I knew the nucleus of four or five people that was the class presidents, and we got together and we put everything together, and you know what? They wanted a wet bar, and I didn't say, no, we're not gonna have a wet bar. But I told them, I said, I got saved. And of course they was, yeah, okay, good, you know, praise the Lord. You know. But when I went to that class reunion, they voted me the most changed person.
That's great.
From the 10-year to the 20-year. And I went and got in the car after that, and I cried like a baby. I said, God, not only did you show me, but you showed all these people outside that I have changed. And you know what? I'm one of the only people who's got a plaque for it. I got a plaque in my house that says the most changed person in Banks County.
All right.
Okay, we got to go. What? Okay, we'll do it next Sunday. Lord bless you. We'll stay on patience.
Man, you made this
whole thing.
When you were headed in with you.
Welcome back. How was your trip? Good. Good. Good.
Good. Good. Good.
Good. Good. Good.
Good. Good. Good. Good. Good. Good.